Good evening. That's a missions conference, and when you go to a country that don't speak English, you will hear English like mine. That we are in missions. You are in the mission field right now. Well, my English is broken. I confuse the tense of the verbs. I never got any formal English education. Guess who was my English teacher? Chuck Tapes, Pastor Chuck Smith, through the Bible. I got the King James Bible, the Reina Valera Bible, and you know what? He pronounced very well each word. You will never get confused. And also, he paused enough when he's speaking for you to, oh, I got it. Oh, I love that. There is a confuse in the book. It's First Thessalonians, you know, Second. It's First Thessalonians. But before I start sharing with you, let me tell a little bit about who am I. I received the Lord when I was 18 years old through an American youth movement called Young Life. Have you ever heard about Young Life? That was the people God used to introduce me to the Lord. And I fall in love with the Bible. I fall in love with the Lord. After a year, when I was there in Young Life, a surfer came from California. I remember his name because he has a very well-known name. His name was Bingo Crosby. And Bingo Crosby was a surfer. He doesn't speak Spanish. He went to Peru. The Lord said, go to Peru and teach and preach the word to the surfers. And he showed up in Peru. One of our fellows from Young Life invited him to Young Life. Okay. 1 year as a believer, not knowing nothing of nothing in a country that is almost, at that time, 95% Catholic. I didn't know that there were different kind of churches, you know. I was in Young Life. And we went to a retreat, just the sheep, not the leaders of the movement, just the regular sheep. We went to a surf camping in the beach. We went to receive 1979 with the Lord, a New Year Eve. Bingo, the surfer, showed up. He doesn't speak English. No one of us spoke English. He doesn't speak Spanish. And the translator couldn't come. And one afternoon, I guess, Bingo said, hey guys, I need to pray for you. I don't know what he said, but he started laying hands. Five of my friends lay down in the spirit. Other four or five start speaking in tongues. He was coming to my side. I said, what's going to happen to me? And then he laid hands on me, and I see all my life, and I realize how a sinner I was and how holy was our God. And I cried like a baby. We were praying like 4 hours. And then when that was over, we asked, Gringo, ¿qué pasó? Gringo, what happened? He just pointed his King James Bible, and we checked our Reina Valera Bible. Acts. What's Acts? What book is before? John, Juan, Hechos. Okay, Hechos. Chapter 2. We returned after our camping to Young Life, but we didn't know the exact English words or Spanish word or theological, whatever you want to call. We just say, we have our own Pentecost. That's what we call our baptism of the Holy Spirit. What happened was that we was kicked out of Young Life because we received something from Satan. and Satan deceived us. I decided to quit, no more Christianity. 2 months later, in the TV, appeared one guy and he said, "You need to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ." And then he advertised, "Come to the 4 Catholic Charismatic Conference in Lima." And then I see those in the Catholics raising hands. Do you know how confused I was when I realized that what I got, the Catholics have also, that came from Satan, because there was no other way to understand what was going on. Well, I will make the story short. A Catholic brother, not a priest, come to us, because everybody was like old people, and we were like 15 kids, and he said, "Hey, who are you?" And we told our story. We are Christians. They kicked us from Young Life, and now here we are. And that brother said, "I will open the doors of our Catholic high schools for you to share the Bible with our kids. Start your own Young Life club there. You have the doors open." We were 4 years more there sharing the gospel to the kids in the Catholic high school. Finally, they kicked out us from the Catholic Church because we were Protestants in the Catholic Church. And that was my life when I heard that in the soccer stadium, national stadium, will be an outreach from a movement called Calvary Chapel. Pastor Jeff Johnson from Downey came to Peru to do an outreach in the soccer stadium. And he brought a rock and roll band, the Defiers. I went to that soccer stadium outreach, and the thing that really blew my mind was Pastor Jeff invited Pastor Raul Ruiz to teach, and Pastor Raul Ruiz was with Bermudas, slaps, t-shirt, and he shared so simple, and almost everybody in the stadium received the Lord. Was amazing, so simple. And I really, that was my first encounter with a church called Calvary Chapel. I lose track. 2 years later, a little team from a small church in Arizona, the whole church in Arizona were 25 people. They came to Peru to do an outreach, to do carpentry construction in a very poor area of Lima. At that time, I was teaching in the high school as a science teacher. One of the teachers, "Lucho, there are some gringos there. Do you want to come? They are Christians." I show up, and I really like the way they work hard. One of the guys, he was a carpenter, he said, "I have 10 days of vacation, and I came by vacation to Peru to build a house to poor people." "How could you do that? It's your vacation. How could you do that?" "Because I love the Lord, and that's what the Lord is asking me to do." I remember went with them to the hotel with the whole group, and I asked one of the guys, "Who are you?" "Calvary Chapel." "Calvary Chapel, Jeff Johnson, Raul Reyes." It was 8 p.m. when we sat at the lobby till 3 a.m. I asked him 2,000 questions. How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, salvation? Do we have it or we can lose it? I asked this guy all the questions and I couldn't believe it. Every answer I said, "Oh, yes! Okay, next question." Finally, that small church invited me next year to go to Arizona. I went to the town of Cottonwood, close to Sedona. One of the pastors took me driving to Southern California. We went to Mike McIntosh Church. At that time, we visited Chuck Jr. Church. We were at Chuck's church. We went to Bible College. And in Twin Peaks Bible College, I take an application and I apply. Let's see what happened. Then they told me that they received, that I was welcome to come. The little church in Arizona decided they will pay my tuition at Bible College. I couldn't believe it. I'm not talking about a big church, 25 adults at that church. Finally, I sold my car, bought my ticket. Was 1993, showed up in Arizona, and the pastor said, "Lucho, I have bad news for you. We cannot fulfill our promise. We cannot pay our building with the bank, but I'm going to talk with Pastor Chuck next week. It's a pastor conference in California." He called me so excited, "Lucho, Pastor Chuck is going to give you a scholarship exchange of work. You can go there in the vacation, you stay working." And I love it. I returned to Peru, quit at my job as a high school teacher, come to America, study 2 years, 4 semesters. I overload with a lot of classes because I knew that was the time I have to study. And then the school finished and I was coming, returning to Peru to start the first Calvary Chapel. It was 1995. The director said, "Lucho, before going, go to talk with Pastor Raul Reyes. He has churches in Colombia and Chile. Peru's in the middle. Go there. Go talk with Pastor Raul." I went. I was so excited. "Pastor Raul, I'm going to Peru. I'm going to start a church." And Pastor Raul was like a rock. "Okay, first advice, look for a job." "Okay, I'm going back to be a high school teacher." "Second, start a Bible study in your home." "Third, two things could happen. It will grow, it won't. If it will grow, you will have a church. If it won't, you will have a home Bible study. I will send you my teachings." Great. And I love that Pastor Raul did that because he taught me to put my eyes in the Lord. It was 25 years ago, we have 29 Calvary Chapels in Peru. The Lord was good. If you have your Bibles, please, could you open your Bibles in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? We're going to go through verses 1 to 8. Something happened during Paul's second missionary trip. When he was in the city of Troas, in the port, he wanted to go to another part in northern Turkey. And he has a vision. Acts chapter 16, verse 9, told us what happened. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" Okay, I want to do a really good application of this verse. First, we are not in Troas. We are in Philadelphia. Second, I am not a vision. But yes, we are almost at night. But let me tell you that I am the voice of 43 South American pastors. And I wish to beg you to come to South America and help us. I want you to see the following map. It's a map of South America. Perfect. I put the countries in alphabetical order. Number one, Argentina. We have a Calvary Chapel there. Number two, you see Argentina is in the southern part of South America. Bolivia is in the northern of Argentina. Brazil is the largest country at the left. Chile is a long strip country by the Pacific Ocean. We have churches there also. Then we have church in Colombia, in the north part, close to Venezuela, is the blue one. But Colombia, we have churches in Colombia. We have churches in Ecuador. Ecuador is between Peru and Colombia. Then there is Peru, number 7. And Uruguay, a small little country at the east of Argentina, number 8. We have churches, Calvary Chapel churches, on all in these countries. You can see that I put Venezuela in blue. The reason I put in blue is that we have Calvary Chapel churches there. And they are doing a great job. But people in Venezuela literally are surviving. They have no medicine. They have no food. People is dying there. The pastor in Calvary Chapel, Venezuela, is doing all he can for the churches in the country. And then there are 4 countries, I can call countries, that appears in red. We do not have any Calvary Chapel in those countries. Paraguay, if you know people from Paraguay, please send me his email or telephone number. I will talk with those guys. Paraguay needs a Calvary Chapel. Guyana, in the northern part. Suriname, they speak Dutch and then French Guyana. That's all the countries that are in South America. I took a part of verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Our visit to you was not in vain. That's how Paul addressed the church. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Paul only stayed 3 weeks in Thessalonica. 3 weeks. He touched many people, bring many to a saving knowledge of Christ. The gospel walked down the streets of that city, and it got into the hearts and homes and lives of men and women. I remember it was summer in South America of 1996. Our summer is your winter. Our summer is December, January, and February. You won't believe it, but we have in Christmas hot chocolate in South America in the midst of the summer because it's a tradition. Okay. I remember the home Bible study have 15 people. We have like 4 months or 5 months as we start the church. And there was a pastor I met when I was going to Peru in Miami, Florida. His name is Pastor Russ Vasquez. I met him before going to Peru. And he said, Lucho, we're going to support you. We're going to send you a mission team to your country. And one day, he called me, Lucho, I'm going to send you a mission team. How many people? 20. 20! We're 15. I really panic. 20 people, how do I feed them? How I will do with a lodge, with a transportation? And I said, Pastor Rath, I'm so sorry. I cannot receive you. We have no the... Lucho, you don't understand. We are not going there to be a burden for you. We're going to Peru to be a blessing for you, for the people, for the church. In the first mission team from Calvary Chapel, Miami, 2 guys, because of the blessing, the experience to do a mission trip, 2 of the guys later become Calvary Chapel pastor, Pat Siller and Pedro Garcia. They both were in their first mission team when they came to Peru. And you have no idea how a mission trip could open your eyes to something you don't know. We are so easy to look for an easy life or comfort zone, but when you go out, it's incredible how you meet real people. You see how the Lord can use you, and you see the real need. You will feel the presence of darkness when you do mission fields, because you are the light. You represent Jesus Christ. And I remember that first mission trip, how our church after them will double and triple after that mission trip. Verse 2, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Oh yes. If you remember Acts chapter 16, what happened in the city of Philippi, how Paul and Silas ended in the jail, how the authorities kicked out them of the city, and he finally went to Thessalonica. 3 weeks after, again, more problems, he moved to Berea, then to Athens, finally to Corinth. And when he was in Corinth, he wrote that letter. You know, that mission experience that Paul had in Thessalonica of 3 weeks was not a big amount of time, just 3 weeks. But he knew that there was a need. And that was the reason that motivated Paul to start the first letter in the New Testament. We have our Bible because Paul spent only 3 weeks in the New Testament in Thessalonica. He wrote the letters. And then another letter. And we have all the collection of letters from Paul. But there was a great deal of conflict and much agony when Paul came to them. Paul says that he had been shamefully treated in Philippi. We know about that from Acts 16. But when he came to Thessalonica, he came in boldness, and his experiences did not affect his approach. I do not know what trials are you going in your personal life, in your family, or in your church. But the best thing that can happen to you is to have a missionary trip that will transform the life of both those who go and those who receive you. And then, who will receive you? Wherever you go, as I told you, I want to be the voice of this 43 pastor. We have a WhatsApp chat, and there are 70 pastors from South America. I told them, I'm going to Philadelphia to the mission conference. Do you want me to be your voice? And 43 of them say, please, yes, Lucho, do it. Tell them that we are here waiting for them, for you to come. And I want to put faces to you of the churches that are in South America. Those 43 pastors of the 70 that asked me, Lucho, please, we will love to have missionaries, mission teams coming to our countries. And the first country, Argentina, Beto Herrera, Carlos Viola, Leo Jimenez. This is a church that is in Mendoza. And this church is open to you. I sent to all of the pastors a survey with 8 questions. And I do a resume of the survey. And I want you to know a little things about those countries. But go to the second slide, Bolivia. Pastor Arturo Guardia, his church is not officially a Calvary Chapel, but he loves the way we are in Calvary Chapel, the way how we teach the Bible. He is starting. He wants to get affiliated. Hold on. There's a lot of things you need to know before doing that, but take your time. Know more about our movement. And Pastor Arturo wants to say, come to Santa Cruz, Bolivia. If you know Bolivians, let's know that there is a church there. Next country, Brazil. They don't speak Spanish. They speak Portuguese. There is Pastor Calvin Cantillo, an American missionary, Carl Fox, in the northern part of Brazil. Alexandre Vaz is in Rio de Janeiro. Celso Nascimento, Sao Paulo, he has the largest church in Brazil, Calvary Chapel. Tom Stowe, he's in Curitiba, he's an American missionary. Domingo Fonsecas, he's in a very poor area of Sao Paulo, close to the favela. Lelo Franco de Toledo, also in Sao Paulo. Those guys say, you are welcome to come. Chile. Pastor Alberto Alamos, he's in Santiago de Chile, the capital. Edgardo Torres is in the southern part of Chile, in the city of Temuco. Sebastian Carmona is in the northern part of Chile, in the city of Iquique, in the desert. There's a lot of mining there. He's doing a great work with the underground groups. And if you want to know more about them, type in your in Google, Calvary Chapel Iquique. They have a group called Chapelianos, from Chapel, Chapelianos. You have no idea what this group is doing with rock music, with hip hop, with scooters, with surf. It's great. Pastor Carlos Tello is in the border with Peru, in the city of Arica. Colombia. 12 pastors answer me. Lucho, we want you to invite the people of the conference to come and visit us. Pastor Fabio Lopez, Pastor Jesus Yepes, Pastor Adriano Ramirez, Pastor Henry Niños in the Llanos in Puerto Gaitán, Pastor Guillermo Medina, he came from New Jersey. He belonged to a little church, Spanish Calvary Chapel in New Jersey. He went there one day, received the Lord, fell in love with the Calvary Chapel movement, and then he said, I need to go to my city. And he is right now in Medellin, Colombia, with a small Calvary Chapel. Who support him? Himself. God is good. Pastor Jorge Garcia. We have Pastor Elvis Portilla. Pastor Alex Fuentes in Tunja. He came from Calvary Chapel for Lauderdale. Pastor Jaiber Gonzalez in Villavicencio. Pastor Carlos Cuellar. He's in Yopal. Luis Taborda, Cali. William Aperador in Sogamoso. Edgar Ciusaba, he's in Tunja. Now, Ecuador. I will refer later to Ecuador, but there is Pastor Rodrigo Andachi, Pastor Freddy Morocho in Cuenca, Pastor Rodrigo in Ambato, Pastor Remigio Narváez in Gualaceo, Pastor Walter España in a city close to Quito, Pastor José Mero, he has a pretty nice church in Guayaquil, but it's a Venezuelan church in Ecuador because all the Venezuelans are going to his church. It's nice. Now Peru. Pastor Raúl Cervera is in Callao. Pastor César Chica is in the jungle in the city of Yarinacocha. Pastor Luis García has my same name. Luis García, I'm Lucho García, Luis García, but he's in the city of Pucallpa in the jungle. Pastor Marco Martinez Lima, he's in Chorrillos. Pastor Craig Tipi, he came in the third mission team we received. He came with a group from Calvary Chapel, Melbourne, Florida. And Pastor Craig was his first mission trip. He came to Peru. He fell in love with the missions. He went to California, graduated from Bible College, came back at my church, served 1 year. He robbed one of the ladies of my church, married her, and now he's in the city, 2 hours of Lima, the city of Huacho. It's incredible how many guys to go to missions trips decide to come to the ministry. Pastor Jimmy Palomino, the city of Ica. Pastor Efraín Medina, the city of Arequipa. Pastor Marco Bustamante in the city of Barranco. Pastor Jorge Alarico in Pucallpa in the jungle. And Pastor Kenny Dujay. He's a missionary. He's from a Calvary Chapel in Corpus Christi, Texas. He's in the city of Cusco. Cusco is the most well-known city in Peru because it's the city you need to go if you want to visit Machu Picchu, the Inca city. If you one day go to Cusco, please stop by and say hello to Pastor Kenneth. And then there is Uruguay, Pastor Marcelo Moreira. It's a new church. It's not in Montevideo, it's in the county of Canelones. It's a small church. He called me and said, Pastor Lucho, sorry, I cannot receive groups. The same answer I got 25 years ago. Why? Because I don't have where to lodge. What I will... Hey, Marcelo, cool down. The mission team is going to bless you. They are not going there to be a burden. And Venezuela, Pastor Juan Manuel Velázquez, pray for him. Really, really put him in your prayer list. And Calvary Chapel La Trinidad in Caracas, they are doing a big, 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 big job. They, in the middle of this dark time for the Venezuelan, Calvary Chapel La Trinidad is reaching people. Not only with a word, but also with food, with clothes. And he said, I don't know how the Lord provides us, but we will be reaching more people in this time of need. Pray for Pastor Juan Manuel Velázquez. If you can wait a little bit, don't go there. It's not easy right now, but they need our prayers. Okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. A Christian that carries the gospel do not take advantage. On the contrary, is more concerned to be a blessing than to be blessed. Last year, 2018, we decided that Calvary Chapels in Peru to move our CCA conference from Peru to Ecuador. I know Pastor Freddy in Ecuador and say, Freddy, I know that you are pretty isolated and we decide to move our conference to Ecuador. Do you think it will be a blessing for the people, for the church in Ecuador? And Freddy say, Pastor Lucho, do it. And we did it. And we moved the conference to Ecuador. Oh my goodness, what a surprise we found. It is only one church listed in the Calvary Chapel churches, Calvary Chapel Cuenca, of Pastor Freddy. When we went there, we found 9 Calvary Chapel churches. 9! And 7 of them never ever have any visit of nobody. We, the Peruvian, were the first contact we have with the Calvary Chapel pastor. Okay, verses 5 and 6. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. Sorry for the pronunciation. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. I love that the motivation of Paul was the love for Jesus Christ and the need that people have. Nothing motivates the believer more than doing the will of God. Paul never sought honor before men. His reason, his motivation were pure. I did a survey with 8 questions to the 70 pastors who shared the WhatsApp chat from pastors of South America. And I will give you a summary of the 43 pastors, some of the questions. One of the questions, how often do you receive missionary teams from the USA? 26 of the 43 churches never got any contact with any church in the USA. Once or two in the last 5 years, 9 churches. 6 churches have 1 mission team every year. And 2 churches have 2 or 3 mission teams coming to them. Okay. Because the next question, because this is important for you, churches where they speak English, you will go to a place that nobody speaks English. And you show up, everybody speaks English. And then we'll be with me and Bingo Crosby. 21 churches, if you go there, you will need to bring in your team a translator. No, 21 speak English, 21 speak English. And there are 22 churches that you need a translator. If you go there, they need a translator. Okay. How many adults are in those churches? 9 churches have less than 20 people, 20 adults. 12 churches between 21 and 40. 5 churches between 40 and 60. 8 churches between 61 and 100. 8 churches above 100 and 300. And Calvary Chapel Cuenca have 400 adults. How many children are there? You won't believe it. There are churches in Colombia that 80% of the people that go to the church are children. It's a children church. They have children services. And then after that, they have the adult service. 9 churches have less than 10. 14 churches, you can read it. 4 churches between 21 and 30 kids. 5 churches between 31 and 40. 6 churches, 40 and 50. Between 50 and 70, 4 churches. And there is 1 church that have 180 kids. Let's finish. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately, longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Wow! Wow! 3 weeks! And Paul is not faking this. It's real. He loved them. 3 weeks was enough time for Paul to have the burden in his heart to reach those guys there. This is how Paul expressed his relationship with the Thessalonians. I have been a nursing mother, a mother bird for you. Paul was that kind of minister. I have loved the Thessalonians with a mother's love. They were dear to him. Paul had a genuine love for the Thessalonians believers, and he was willing, literally, to give his life for them. The bond between churches becomes very strong, between the church that sends missionary teams and the church that receives it. I want to encourage you to look for new mission fields. Hear carefully. I will say something that maybe you are not aware, but I want you to know. There are some churches that receive 15, 20 mission teams per year. And in the same country are churches that never got one. I don't want to judge. Last month, I received a phone call from a fellow pastor in California. I knew him when he was pastor of Savannah, Georgia, of the Calvary Chapel. He said, "Lucho, I'm going with two pastors, Connor Berry, from he's one of our pastors, and Patrick, to Peru. We want to serve you." And I say, "I will love then to have you, but we just start a little church, northern part of Peru, in the city of Pacasmayo. They are 15 months as a church. They never got any visit. They would love to have you. I will go to the Lima airport, pick you up. Next day I will put you in the airplane to go to Pacasmayo city, and then you can go there. And there is, if you are a surfer, the longest goofy wave for the surfers in the world is in Pacasmayo. You can surf and you can serve the Lord there." And that's what I'm trying to say to you. If you have been doing mission trips with the same guys, look for other fields. You need to know that there is a need. And the blessing is not shared. I don't know why. That's the reason I want to share about these guys, these pastors you saw on the slides. To make contact with churches that are isolated or have little contact with other churches, you do not imagine the blessing that will result for this. Do mission. Get involved. You will see the results and you will bear a lot of fruit. If any of you want to know, in the last slide, there is a survey, the resume of the survey. And if you want, you can ask Ivan. Ivan, where are you? Ivan is there. Did you see his hand? He can give you, if you have, give him your email address. He will send the survey that you will see the need that is there. I'm so blessed to be here with you guys. I'm just on time to finish, but I want to finish to say to you something. I would like to move. You know, I'm hyper, if you don't. But that's the life we have. The only life we have. And you will decide how do you want to live your life. How you want to spend your life. And a lot of people are wasting their life. There is people that live with too much bitterness, with much anger. And I don't know why Christians decide to live that way. Jesus Christ has 12 disciples. But three of those guys were very close to him. Do you know their names? Who were the three apostles that were very close to Jesus? John, Peter, and Jacob. Okay. Of those three, one was the beloved one. Who was? Who put him that name, the beloved one? Himself. Himself. And you could think 12 apostles, but Jesus have a little group of three and have one special one. Do you think that Jesus decide you far, you closer, and you are the beloved one? No. You decide. You decide how close do you want to be with the Lord? You have the decision. What are you doing? Why do you decide to be far apart? Or what do you decide to be? I don't know. But you can come closer. And you can be like John and like a backpack jump on Jesus' back. You can be closer to the Lord. And it's your choice. There's a lot of things to do. Where are we? What are we doing? How much life do you think you have? What are the things that really matter? What is? What do you have that really belong to you? Tell me. What do you have that really belong to you? What? Nada. Nothing. Let's pray and decide to give our lives and decide to come the closest we can to Jesus Christ. Lord, you know us, each one. You know our lives. You know our fights. You know our weakness. You know everything about us. But we want to come closer to you. We don't want nothing to be between you and me. I want to be like John the Apostle and come the closer I come to you. The Macedonian appeared in a vision to Paul, come and help us. Lord, allow us to be sensible to your voice. Here we are, Lord. We will go wherever you want us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your patience. God bless you guys.